AM 790 Talk and Business presents Water Fire Ignites Rhode Island with your host, Bronwyn Dannenfelser. Join Bronwyn to hear about the next water fire event in downtown Providence, plus other great cultural events happening in the community. Now, here's your host, Bronwyn Dannenfelser.
Well, and hello, and welcome everybody here on this very dreary Wednesday. I was driving over here and I asked myself, am I back in England? Because I lived in England for a couple of years, and boy, does it kind of feel that way. But you know what? On top of all that, I was just so excited to come back because I wasn't here last week for our Water Fire Ignites Rhode Island to talk about the incredible things that we have coming up, including our December 18th special Christmas water fire to benefit the Providence Rescue Mission, which I'm going to spend a lot of time on the show today talking to some really amazing people. Sean Carew, who's the executive director and founder of the Rescue Mission, and his daughter, Megan. Megan Carew, beautiful, beautiful young lady who not only, you know, the Rescue Mission is this wonderful organization. It's a family affair. Again, started by Sean Carew and Marbeth Carew, who I was hoping would be here so I could give her a big hug, but hopefully she's listening out there, and hello, Marbeth. But to all of our listeners out there, thanks for taking the time and spending the next hour with us. We've got lots to talk about. You know, I hope everybody really did enjoy this wonderful Thanksgiving last week and had some time to spend sitting back and saying, boy, this is what I'm grateful for. And, you know, spend some time with your family. I was in New York, and I went to visit my dad. This has become one of our yearly kind of traditions, and we go to New York for Thanksgiving, and we see a show. And I've got to tell you, if you are somebody who travels to go see Broadway shows out there, I saw this show called Allegiance, and it was with George Takei. And if you don't know who he is, I think his name on the show was Sulu, but he was on Star Trek. And the show was about, it was a musical, and I know this sounds a little bizarre, but a musical about the Japanese internment camps. And the reason that it was so important for George Takei to be part of this is because, I never knew this, he was actually brought up in a Japanese internment camp, which is a part of our history that a lot of people don't talk about anymore. But it was such a fascinating, fascinating show. So if you ever have the chance to get to New York, and hopefully it's still playing, I love seeing art, listening to art, being part of any sort of artistic performance that has a meaning and a message and where I can learn something. And that's probably why I've been at Water Fire for so long, and probably why this very special Christmas water fire lighting is something that I find to be so near and dear to me, because it's all about teaching people some of the compassionate ways that we can help each other out there, and the teachings of Jesus, essentially, when we look at the Providence Rescue Mission and when we talk to Sean Carew about that, but the ways that we can help each other. And we get to do it in a fun and exciting way, and we get to have carols, and we get to see Christmas trees that are decorated by our businesses and then donated to families in need. But without further ado, because I think there's a lot to talk about with my friend Sean Carew from the Providence Rescue Mission. Hello.
Hey, Bronwyn, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm even better because you're here with me.
I was driving out in the dreary weather, and I thought, you know what? It's going to be in a bright room for the next hour. It's a water fire thing, and so I was really excited about this. You know, we've been doing this a number of years together.
Five years.
Incredible. And, you know, we're so thankful to the donor that anonymously sponsors this every year. And, you know, you and I have talked with that person, and their heart's desire is to bring really Christmas back into Providence, just bigger and better. Not that it's not there, but just to do more. And every year we do this with the fires burning and the Christmas caroling and the Christmas tree and Santa Claus and just the whole night. We've been through storms. We've been through rain.
We certainly have.
We've been through like 55 degree weather when you're thinking, am I in Florida? But the passion, the idea of Christmas in our city is just such a beautiful night, you know, so I was really stoked to be here today.
Well, so was I, because, you know, I had heard about, I know that tomorrow they're lighting the Christmas tree at the State House, right?
Right.
And then Saturday they're lighting the Christmas tree in the middle of the city. So Mayor Lors is doing that. But I'm like, we end up with a really large Christmas tree that's donated by somebody that you know from the Providence Rescue Mission.
We're waiting to hear back. The word's out. We're praying that that comes in. We're believing it. It's Christmas.
Of course.
You got to believe in things like that at Christmas, right?
Yeah,
you
know? The coolest thing is, what do we get? We all those kids from all the different schools send in ornaments. And that's what the tree is decorated with.
And it's beautiful. And it really is, with Santa Claus sitting next to the tree, right down by the basin.
It
is just a special night.
And there's a lot of caroling. But let's talk about why we do the special night. Not only just to bring Christmas here, but for anybody out there who does not know what the Providence Rescue Mission is, could you please give us a background?
Sure. I'll try to keep it under an hour. Okay. I know we're under a time limit. No, I'm kidding. No, the mission, my wife and I came in 1999. It's hard to believe. And we were the founding family that started the Providence Rescue Mission here in the West End, 627 Cranston Street. Hard to believe, from one property, we now have four different properties with the mission. And the goal has always been to really share the love of Jesus in word and deed. You know, it's one thing to tell people God loves you. It's another thing to show them that love. And so we have the privilege of being the hands and feet of Jesus to really show people that have had a tough life, you know, substance abuse, mental health, abuse in their families growing up, ended up in human trafficking, all of those things. We're a sanctuary. People come and they are not only treated to the idea that God loves them, but we provide breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily at the mission. If you don't have a pair of socks, we put a pair of socks on your feet. If you need underwear, we make sure you get a pair of underwear. A hot shower, a safe place to stay at night, a hot meal, a chapel service where you can talk to God. And, you know, and it's a funny thing. I can't sing. I know my daughter Megan's here, and she's an opera singer.
And we know she's a darn good singer.
And my wife Marbeth can sing, and my daughter Rachel can sing, but I can't sing. So when I do chapel service, we usually have people sing songs. I will not subject the crowd to my singing. And I tell them that. I say, you know what? I love you too much to make you listen to me. So what I do, and it's funny because what has happened over the years is, so when I do chapel service, I say, instead of singing, I say, does anybody need prayer for anything? And it's amazing when you have 100 people that are poor and homeless, and you realize nobody asks these folks if they need prayer. Mm-hmm. And their prayer requests are beautiful. I don't hear prayers of like, give me. I hear prayers like, would you pray for my mom? Would you pray that I could reunite with my kids? Would you pray that I could get a place to live so my children could be with me? Would you pray that I could get a job? And when you're sitting in that kind of environment, it's powerful because it's dignity, and that's what we really strive in everything we do.
You and I have always talked about this, always, and this is something that I've found very amazing about the rescue mission, is the the underlying current is that everybody needs to be treated with dignity. So
absolutely,
it's not like you're looking for a handout. You don't make people feel like that. But before we go into
that's okay.
I want to ask you, this is a very special calling, of course.
Yeah.
What was it, over 15 years ago, that made you look at your wife and say, I'm picking up? Because I know that you had young kids at the time.
Yeah, correct? We did. I tell people I married up. not only is my wife smarter than me, my wife is very sacrificial. And so we knew in 94 we were involved with an organization called the Association of Gospel Rescue Missions. And they had talked to me in 1994 about coming to Rhode Island and starting a mission, because Rhode Island didn't have one at that time. And we thought we were going in 94, and we didn't get the opportunity to go until 99. So we actually had to wait 5 years as where the Lord was doing to prepare it. And I'm fortunate. My wife is a visionary like I am, and she felt the calling from God to go. And we actually owned a house. I worked at at that time, the City Mission of Schenectady in Schenectady, New York, had a great job, great ministry, and we left our home, basically all our possessions. We didn't even have a place to live when we got here. We actually stayed at a youth cabin at Quidessa Baptist Church for 6 months while we tried to figure out what we were going to do, and we started the mission from scratch. It didn't exist.
How did you get the word out?
Word of mouth. And what's interesting is, and I know you know this some, is that because we're 100% privately funded, so we're not against government money. We don't think government money is bad. It's just the traditional gospel rescue missions have always been privately funded, individuals, business, churches. We came here not knowing anybody, and God was so gracious as we developed that, but we came with nothing.
Yeah.
And started the mission, and it's been an incredible journey. I remember our first chapel and dinner service, there were four people there. And now we do somewhere between 10 and 12,000 meals a month.
That's a staggering number. It is a staggering
number. It's a staggering number.
And we're going to have to take a commercial break in a second. But before we do that, how many people did you just feed at Thanksgiving?
Well, that's a hard number. Can I calculate it and give it to you when I get back? Because I got a lot of different ones I got to add in my head.
Yeah,
I'm getting old.
Because I think people should know what you just did and what we're about to do when we come back. And then I want to speak to Megan, of course. She's sitting over there looking so beautiful. Everyone,
Absolutely.
You're listening to Waterfire Ignites Rhode Island. Here on AM 790, your station for talk and business, I'm talking to the Providence Rescue Mission, the benefactors of the Christmas Water Fire, and can't wait to tell you more about what you're going to see and hear. Hello. Welcome back to Water Fire Ignites Rhode Island here on AM 790, your station for talk and business. Just a quick shout out to National Grid, who underwrites this program, as well as our friends at Lifetime Medical Support Services. They give us the opportunity to be with you this afternoon and to introduce you to some of our wonderful friends. We have been spending the first 20 minutes of the show talking about the very special Christmas Water Fire, which we only learned about a couple of weeks ago because of who I call my Santa Claus. He's this anonymous guy and donor and part of a company and just the largest heart and, of course, wants to make Christmas just that much better. But the two people that I've got with me pretty much are Santa Claus to a lot of people 365 days a year. I've said that since I met them because, you know, often here at the holiday time, we think about giving and we forget that people need help every single day of the year. And this is what Sean Carew and his wife Marbeth and their entire family. So you got Connor and Rachel and Megan have all been part of this.
Absolutely.
As well. But before we went to break, you know, I had talked about in the beginning of the show my trip to New York to see my dad, and I had thought about it. That's one of your busiest times, Sean.
It is.
How many people did you feed?
Well, you got to break it down. So if we take the week of Thanksgiving, we do our first Thanksgiving meal the Saturday before because folks are running out of money for food in the community. So that Saturday Thanksgiving dinner, we did a sit-down dinner, turkey, all the trimmings, about 900 people, 900 meals served there. Then on Thanksgiving Day, which is a little less sometimes because you have a lot of different groups doing dinner, which is really cool because it just shows the love of the city and the love of different organizations. There's so many great organizations out there. We never think of us as being the only one. There's some people that are out in our community that are really passionate, and we love them and we respect them, and they're doing things. But even so, we did, I think, 500 meals sit down that day, but then we do shut-ins. So we do elderly shut-ins and some disabled vets, and I think we did 185 meals there. Mm-hmm. And then between the Saturday and the Thursday, we do, it's a dignity thing. A long time ago, we used to always try to get people to come for Thanksgiving. But then my staff and my friends and I were sitting around talking about it. We said, well, what do we love about Thanksgiving? And the thing you really love about, I mean, turkey's cool, but who really loves turkey? I mean, it's, I mean, you only eat it once a year. When's the last time you went to the restaurant and said, you know, I want a good slice of turkey? We don't do that, right? You know, you might, seriously, you know, I want some prime rib. I want a piece of fish. Who goes, give me, and you know what? Put the cranberry sauce right on the side. It's July, right? So it's a once a year thing. So when you think about it, you don't have Thanksgiving because of the food. What you really like is being with your family and your friends. So we decided years ago, we said, so if you became poor all of a sudden, would that idea change? And our response was, no, it wouldn't. So then we said, well, why are we trying to get people to come here? We should be able to provide for them so they can have Thanksgiving just like us. Because that's where dignity lies, at the level where you treat people as good or better than yourself. Not that you are going to help them. It's you want to be a blessing. You want to be something where somebody says, wow, somebody hasn't thought of me that way. That's where dignity is. So every year we do this, families sign up and they come before Thanksgiving and they get a food box. So they'll get anywhere from a 10 to a 15 pound turkey. We have businesses that and individuals, and we buy them if we have to, as we do those. Then you get a 40 pound food box, rice, potatoes, cereal, so it can carry you more than one meal. So that's about 40 meals in a box, if you will. We did 500 families.
That's
for that. So that's about 20,000 meals in total, roughly, that you would use. So for the week, for just that 7 days, plus we feed every day. So we're open every day, 24 hours a day. We never close. So we have people in for breakfast. We have people on our program at lunch. We have our open community dinner, chapel and dinner every evening. So for that week, probably safely somewhere between 22 and 25,000 meals for the week, which is crazy.
The amount of volunteers and the amount of time that must go into that.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And it's lovely because the thing about it is it's the dignity thing. And so, you see the people that come, they love driving the meals to people's houses. Yeah. Like, it's not a lot of flash and bang, right? It's not a lot of, like, we were talking before, we had a Thanksgiving, we go, booyah, look at that. Right, you know, I'm stealing that from Mad Money, the guy on Mad Money, right? But it's the idea that somebody took the time out of their day to drive a prepared meal on Thanksgiving Day to somebody that can't get out. Yeah. And the volunteers love it because they have such a spirit for it.
And it's not like your volunteers are very dedicated. And that's
why fantastic.
I've got to speak to Megan over
Go right
here
ahead. Because, don't let me get in the way.
Well, you know, because as I was saying, it's a family affair.
It
for
is.
The Carews.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that. I know Rachel's an incredible baker.
Well, she runs it. Just to jump in, Rachel now has developed, she's our food service manager. So she oversees all food production to our community full time. And she does a wonderful job.
And she's her cookies are to
die
for.
I don't eat them anymore, but, you know, I can't stay fat forever. But
and for Megan, for you, I mean, you spent a lot of time, you spent most of your life in the mission and helping. What does it feel like to be part of this?
I just say it's a blessing. I'm very fortunate to have my family and my parents and to have the opportunity to go down. The mission started in 1999. I was born in 2000, so I've grown up in the mission. People will tell you I was running around, and I would go. We would have vacation Bible school in the summer, and I would hang out with all the kids, and my sister and my brother would go. And I've just always loved going, especially with my dad. I'm a daddy's girl. I've gone everywhere with him. And all I remember was when I was little, I would hear him get up, and I would run out of my room. He would shut the door, and I would swing open the door and scare him half
That's
to death.
That's the front door. The front door.
And he would get so scared, and I was like, I want to come to the mission with you. And he was like, why are you up? It's like 7 a.m. I was like, because I want to come to the mission. And sometimes I would go down, help him out. And it's always, I spend all my holidays there. I was there Thanksgiving. Their Christmas, Easter.
And is it the people? You love interacting with the people?
I love giving. Mm-hmm. Anything I can do for someone, I will bend over backwards. That's just what I love to do.
Well, and do you sing for them ever?
I do. I remember it was Easter, and a couple of days before, I still do Veggie Tales as a little girl. And there was a song from their Easter episode, and I was like, Mom, Dad, I want to sing this song. And I sang along with the girl who sang on the track. Mm-hmm. People were, like, taking pictures. They were like, you were so cute. I was like, I don't know, 5 or 6. And sometimes I love just getting up there and singing for them. And I get so emotional about it because it's just what I've grown up with, and it's a huge blessing. I love it.
Well, you're doing wonderful things for, you know, an incredible bunch of people. Has anybody ever come back? And either of you can answer this. After having gone through one of the women's programs, which we'll talk about, or the men's programs, and come back to say thank you, or I remember your voice, or I remember what you've done.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of the things that you learn early on in working in the inner city ministries is you never know your effect. Like, you may never know. I have people ask me all the time, what's your success rate? And I tell people, what would you like it to be? I said, you can create success, any numbers, you can manipulate numbers to be whatever you want them to be. And we've never been about that. We've always been about quality versus quantity. And so people will come back to us. We have people that went through our program that work for us. We have people that have become highly successful that come back on a regular basis to encourage the people that are there now, saying, hey, I used to be a homeless person. I used to be an alcoholic. I was a drug addict. And they're very successful. I have somebody that went through our program a number of years ago that this summer just bought a house in Riverside and married a doctor. And that doesn't mean that's what success is. The point is that we teach that God wants to bless you and make your life better.
Yep.
That he never intended. Are we okay?
We've got about a minute because I want you to talk very quickly.
Yeah, go ahead.
Or I'm just going to say it for you.
Go ahead.
And then when we come back, we're going to talk more about it. But you do. You really do push success there. And then, to me, in the most interesting ways, you've got a dental clinic.
I'll
never forget you saying this to me the first year we were ever on the radio together. That you were saying to me, you know, how do you get a job if you don't have with bad teeth and
a bad
smile? And
that's
I know
that
you've got a free dental clinic that's part of the rest.
And
of
that's
mission.
Restorative dental. Mm-hmm. Our focus there is we restore your mouth, and that's not limited to the mission. Mm-hmm. That is, we partner with many, many different groups in the community. I've actually been in businesses where somebody's waiting on me, and I see how good of a person they could be in a business setting, but when they smile, they've had bad teeth, that I've encouraged them, given them my card or my wife's card, and they've came and we fixed their teeth so they could be successful. Success, God's a successful God. God really is a successful God. God doesn't create junk. God doesn't create people to live in abject poverty. He actually creates to bless and to fellowship with people. We really, really believe that. And I want to get into that more after the break.
Because when we come back from the break, we've got to talk about Christmas and your Christmas store
and
our mission is, because
we need
toys.
Oh, that did it. Whoa, booyah.
Booyah, we're good. Well, we're going to be back in a second talking to Sean Carew and Megan Carew about the Providence Rescue Mission and about our wonderful Christmas, very special Christmas water fire happening on December 18th. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. This is so much fun.
Totally cool.
You're listening to AM 790, your station for talk and business. We'll be right back.
Ho, ho.
And a ho, ho, ho.
And a hello, hello, hello.
There you go, Megan. Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to AM 790, your station for talk and business. And Water Fire Ignites Rhode Island. We just had a nice little chat with Mike Ritz about the West Broadway neighborhood stroll, the caroling stroll happening on December 20th. But we've spent most of this program, and I want to spend the last part of this program, focused on the incredible group, the Providence Rescue Mission, and what they are doing. They are benefactors of this water fire lighting in the ways that only Sean can tell you about. But we've talked a lot about what they do just in terms of feeding people and prayer and dignity. But Sean, one of the things I love about what you do around Christmas time is this Christmas store. Can you explain what that is?
It's my favorite thing. Again, the dignity thing. I've been involved in different ministries where on Christmas Day, poor families bring their children to whatever it is, and they wait in line and they get a tour. Toy and I absolutely hated it. It just frustrated me. And so one of the things, again, we came up with with some friends was, let's have a place where there's toys and parents come without the kids before Christmas. Yep. And they get to pick out toys, just like if they went to Walmart or wherever it was. And then we have volunteers in another room that's a wrapping station. Yep. And we wrap all their toys. So on Christmas Day, when the kids see the toys, they see who's ever taking care of them, whether it's their mother, their father, their grandparents. And so they identify with what really godly love is. It's the idea of somebody loves you and provided for you. So it's a really, really cool thing. But we need toys.
Yeah.
Let's not play around here. Mm-hmm. Last year, I think we did over 1,200 children.
Okay.
So that was over 3,000 toys. We like to give three toys a kid, mm-hmm. whether it's new clothing or a toy. And they don't have to be super expensive. You know, we like the $10 range. I mean, hey, if you're an Xbox person and you want to buy a tractor trailer of Xboxes to give everybody, don't let me stop you. But that's not what we're looking for. Yeah. We're really looking for people, moms. You have to understand where poor moms sometimes see things. It's really, really important that they have new clothes for their children. So new clothes, boots, mm-hmm. wintertime boots, big thing. Go ahead.
What kind of age range are you looking
We go anywhere. There? We go anywhere from toddler up to about 15.
Okay.
Gets real challenging, 10 to 15.
I can imagine.
That's
what
a
I was
challenging
asking.
Zone.
Yep.
So we need toys. You can drop those toys off now. You don't even have to wait for Waterfire. We're in toy collection mode. You can do a couple of things. You can come right to our main property, which is 627 Cranston Street, right in the West End, right off of Route 10. It really literally takes you a minute or two to get there. Google it. You'll be there. No problem. Easy on, easy off of 10.
I've been there.
It's easy. So you can come. We're open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can drop off toys anytime. If you come during the daytime, you can always ask for me. If I'm there, I'd love to say hi to you, shake your hand, and thank you. Greg's Restaurant has been partnering with us with part of their Giving Tree for a year. So if you go to Greg's Restaurant and you do their Giving Tree, we're part of that. They're great.
What does that mean, Sean?
I believe that when you go there, they have a tree and they've got tags for different children. You take a tag, you buy a gift, you bring the gift back. That I believe, I don't want to quote it, but each year I think they give you you get a slice of pie or something. And
that's cool.
It's a cool perk, you know.
They've got good pie.
I've never said no to a Greg's pie. But so we really are so appreciative. They've been doing it for years.
Nice.
They're great friends. You can go online if you don't want to buy a toy, if you're busy. ProvidenceRescueMission.org. Also, you can find us on the mobile apps. You can give right online, right through PayPal. It goes to us. You can mail something in to us. Or if you can't shop and you want to give a gift, a financial gift, mm-hmm. we're 100% privately funded. We're a 501c3. So you can mail 627 Cranston Street, Providence, Rhode Island, 02907.
Yeah.
There's a lot of ways. And then the big one is, I'm going to jump in.
Go for Waterfire
that night. Toy boxes. This is like the bomb. This is where it's really like it's
booyah.
Like booyah. It's kind of like a Christmas carol. You could see just Cratchit just walking in and with little Tim. I'm not trying to be smart with this, but the Santa Claus is there. The mm-hmm. candy canes are there. The fires are going. There's toy boxes where you can drop off food, clothing, toys. The toys and clothing are really our big thing.
Yep.
And know that on before Christmas, moms, I can't tell you how many moms, when they go through the mission, when they see me, they say, thank you. And the look in their eyes is one of genuine appreciation. And I say, it's all the people that care about you. And this is how God loves you. And so Waterfire, with the music and the toys and the Santa and the trees. I mean,
it's Christmas.
Oh, it's stupid fun.
Yeah.
And I know it's cold. Listen, look, believe me.
But that's why there's fires,
Sean.
That's
why there's fires. That's right. Get a cup of hot chocolate. Bring your kids down. Come back. That's the whole idea, is come back to the idea of community Christmas. And that's what Waterfire has been such a great. We love you and Barnaby and PK and the whole team. Because let me tell you, nobody does. I don't even know how Waterfire does Waterfire. And I've been around it for 5 years. But the gang is fantastic.
Thank you,
the creativity is fantastic. Mm-hmm. Come and experience something. You can't go anywhere else basically in the country. Maybe one other city, I think it is. Is it one city?
I don't. England's got something. That's not part of the United States. Yeah,
we're talking about, you can't go anywhere else for this.
Not that
Nowhere.
I've seen.
And you can't go anywhere Christmas Waterfire. This is Rhode Island's.
Yeah.
This is ours. And I'm not trying to blow their horn, but the Waterfire Gang does it top shelf. They are excellent people, and our donor made a right call by doing this with you guys. So come and experience. Bring a toy.
Yep.
Bring your kids down. Have a candy cane. Let your kids see Santa.
And
right
listen
there.
To that. We've got
the
choirs
that
are going to be singing. I know,
we
Megan, you're going to be singing with your mom.
Yes, I am. I'll be there.
We have some great choirs, and it's old school.
Yeah.
And you know what? There's something sweet about old school Christmas. So bring a toy. Come down. Experience something you'll never. Don't worry about the weather. Okay?
No.
If you want the weather, go on a cruise. Right? If you want Christmas, come down to Waterfire December 18th and start your season in a way. And if you've been before, mm-hmm. we thank you. We love you. But come down. Bring a gift. The table will be there. I'll be by the basin. Come over. Help me.
See what is happening at the rescue
yep,
mission.
Yep, there'll be information, everything.
And I got to jump in here because I don't know. We've been doing this for the last few years. People are donating trees, Christmas trees. And so if you're a company or
that's
if you're
right.
a church, go to the Waterfire website or a nonprofit. People donate a tree. Half the proceeds are going to the Providence Rescue Mission. But here's the coolest thing. You can get all your coworkers together or all your friends, decorate the tree. That tree is going to go to a family that does not have one.
Right.
So what an amazing
not
way.
Only do they get toys,
yeah.
but you get a tree. Not only do you get a tree, you get a decorated tree. Not only is it a decorated tree, it's a decorated tree decorated with love.
Exactly.
Booyah.
Total booyah.
Total booyah,
all right?
Right,
so we've got to kind of wrap everything up, but I've got to tell you, it is always so wonderful to have
Absolutely.
You here.
Absolutely. I love coming here. It's my favorite thing every Christmas.
And Megan, next time, we're going to let you talk a little bit more next time. Huh?
Doubtful if I'm there. You're going to have her without me.
Oh, no,
well, everybody,
fine.
Thank you so much for listening. We are getting geared up for the very special Christmas Waterfire, December 18th. You know what? Be there or be square is how I always put it. Again, Providence Rescue Mission, check them out and get those toys there now.
That's
and
right.
Now, that's really.
We're ready.
Yep, ready to take them. So, everyone, you really enjoy the rest of your day. Hopefully, you're on your way home to see your family or just to go do something fun. You've been listening to Waterfire Ignites Rhode Island here on AM 790, your station for talk and business. And thanks to National Grid, they also donate toys to the Providence Rescue Mission.
Our friends.
Everybody have a great night.